Now your host, Dave Glover.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and welcome back to The Drive Time. My guest in the studio is Professor of E-Journalism at Loyalist College, Rob Washburn. Rob, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me, Dave.
And joining us on the line is a member of Provincial Parliament for Kitchener-Conestoga. That's correct, Kitchener-Conestoga, MPP Michael Harris. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Very glad to have you here. We're going to have to turn your volume up a bit. We got a bit of a loose connection here. Now, before we get into this conversation today, by the way, folks, is about rare diseases here in Ontario, also known as orphan diseases. And orphan disease is a disease that affects a small percentage of the population. Most rare diseases are genetic and are present throughout a person's entire life, even if symptoms do not immediately appear. According to the Canadian Organization for Rare Diseases, which is CORD, 1 in 12 Canadians are affected or impacted by rare diseases, while many are at risk. But they remain undiagnosed and unaware. Then this is why it's vital to raise awareness for those stricken by rare diseases to ensure that they are provided with the tools and resources and support required to overcome common obstacles and break through isolation. So that's the issue. Of course, we're going to talk about that. Before we get to that, Michael, as we like to do before we get into our in-depth interviews, we've got a song dedicated to this particular issue. And of course, today's song is Huey Lewis in the News, I Want a New Drug. So we'll be right back with the conversation right after this. But first, folks, here is Huey Lewis in the News.
Make me feel 3 feet deep.
us in the news with I Need a New Drug right here on Northumberland 89.7. As I say, joining me on the line is MPP Michael Harris. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Very, very glad we got your volume situation sorted out, so that's good to know.
Before we go too far there, Dave, we should remind all our listeners that Michael Harris is not the former premier of the province, but an MPP, just to keep everybody clear, and not the same guy. Am I correct on that?
That's correct. Not to be confused with the other Michael D. Harris.
That's right. That's why. That's why we're going to call him Michael and not Mike.
Oh, there you go.
We'll avoid there the abbreviation.
He's a great guy, by the way. I'll just get that out there on the record.
Absolutely.
Okay, so there you go. So the issue here for Ontarians, folks, is the Ontario legislature dictates that drugs and treatment funding decisions be based on the best clinical and economic evidence available. And by definition, fewer people suffer from rare diseases. So as a result, there's little long-term information available to evaluators. There are not enough patients to conduct formal clinical trials that could provide strong evidence of efficacy using statistical methods. The cost of drugs and treatment is usually very high due to the small market from which to recover the high costs in development and training. And a resulting lack of national data means it's difficult to demonstrate the cost-effectiveness of treatment despite individual experiences, pointing to treatment reducing healthcare system reliance and the comparative costs given the small numbers of patients for whom treatment is available. As a result, many treatments for rare diseases, including the one I suffer from, fail to be approved under the current funding model, and many studies have concluded that the most responsible way forward is to provide a model for funding drugs, treatment, and training for rare diseases. Michael, thank you for doing this. By the way, you've been doing your cross-province tour since the early part of this year, correct?
Yeah, we've hit many of the major centers across the province. I've started the tour, of course, in GTA in Toronto, Ajax, Pickering. I was in Windsor. I then went to Ottawa, Brockville, back to Toronto. I was in Sudbury on Monday, Hamilton yesterday, and we'll be in Kitchener-Waterloo, Guelph, Cambridge next week.
What are you hearing from people out there at this point? First of all, there must be some shock and awe from the people out there that you're meeting that you're even discussing this.
Well, yeah, there is definitely recognition from folks that, you know, albeit they're rare, there's plenty of folks in Ontario that unfortunately suffer from a rare disease. And, you know, most ask why I got involved. And I'll say I don't have a rare disease. Oftentimes they look at me and they're like, well, you must have a son or daughter, a brother and sister, a family member that has a rare disease. And I said, no. In fact, until I was an MPP, I wouldn't have really known much about rare disease until I sat at Queen's Park and watched many of these groups, folks that came through the doors pleading for their loved ones' lives, asking government to support them just because they have a rare disease, that they're outside of the current system. Mm-hmm. You know, I was in Ottawa, and I heard an extremely sad story. Of course, cancer has touched many of our lives, and it's very, very tragic. Her husband suffers from a rare disease, and she said that he wishes he was diagnosed with a cancer because at least he would have known that there was a path to follow for treatment, potentially, where they're forced to, you know, fight for themselves on their own, oftentimes on the hook for different therapies, medications. I had a lady in Sudbury that has two sons, suffers from alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency as well. Mm-hmm. And she said her sons have chose not to have children because they don't want to see their family members suffer and struggle like their mom did. And
really,
that's sad to hear people say those stories. I've had an opportunity to hear those things, but we're hoping that, you know, with my motion calling on the government to strike an all-party, which is comprised of all three political parties, Liberal, NDP, Conservative, that would tour the province, hear from experts, medical professionals, sufferers, and their families, and use that firsthand experience to develop meaningful, lasting recommendations for better treatment of rare disease here in the province of Ontario.
Now, it's not just you've talked about identifying the disease and to look at paths for treatment, but there's also a cost factor in here as well. Is that not correct?
Yeah, of course. I mean, you know, I read a stat yesterday, actually, and it talked about the overall, the drug program. Rare disease drugs account for about 2% of the overall program. But, you know, we're not just specifically talking about medications for rare diseases. Mm-hmm. Oftentimes there's treatments outside of the United States, EDS, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. There's a surgeon in the U.S. in Maryland that's perfected you know, this surgery, it's not available or hasn't been done here in the province of Ontario, or, you know, little at all been done. And so many patients do travel to Maryland to get this surgery, and they apply for out-of-country coverage, and it's typically denied. And so, you know, not just the funding for pharmaceuticals, but a variety of things. We hear from folks all the time about misdiagnosis, and I think, Dave, you'll talk about that earlier, but, you know, patients are told it's in your head. Go to the psych ward. Take antidepressant medication. And so, you know, my motion always also calls for, you know, the proper training of medical professionals to both effectively diagnose and provide appropriate referrals for treatment options of rare disease.
Well, that's actually a really good point. And I want to touch on that if we can for a moment, because, you know, as I said, and I've said this on the show a few times, I suffer from alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency. I wasn't diagnosed until it was pretty much too late. At this point, there are some treatments available, some gene therapies, if you will, that are available for people who suffer from alpha-1. But because I was diagnosed at the late stage that I was, those therapies aren't available. So part of the problem for people who suffer from alpha-1 in particular and other diseases is that they're often misdiagnosed. You know, I was and doctors tend to go for what I consider the low-hanging fruit when it comes to ailments. So, you know, you're a smoker, you got a cough. Oh, well, you must have COPD or you've developed emphysema or whatever. But they don't look at the underlying causation. And for me, the only reason I ended up being diagnosed with alpha-1 in the first place was because my father was dying from a liver disease that nobody could diagnose. My respirologist at the time and Dr. Al-Keeb in Oshawa, and I want a big shout out to him, and Dr. Chapman at the Toronto University Health Network, both of them said, your father's dying from a rare lung disease. Your father's dying from an undiagnosed liver disease. You've got this lung function issue. And the doctor looked at me and said, have you ever been tested for alpha-1? And I said, no, I've never even heard of it. And no one in my family had heard of it. Even our family doctor, my brother attended a funeral recently where our family doctor, a longtime family doctor, was there. And he asked about my father. And my brother said, well, my father had passed away, of course, as you know. And he died from alpha-1. And the doctor looked at him and said, alpha-1? Wow, I never even would have thought about that. And that's really where the problem lies. Because had he been diagnosed with alpha-1, he would have got the liver transplant he needed. He'd probably still be with us today.
Yeah, or there's the other side on the liver. And oftentimes, you know, the signs show that, you know, the person is potentially an alcoholic, a heavy drinker, and that, you know, these are self-inflicted, you know, type things. And so it turns out that, you know, in one man's case out of London who was joining us in Windsor, you know, had a liver transplant because of his alpha-1, right?
Mm-hmm. And he was cured.
Well, yeah, he's on the path to recovery, absolutely. We had a lady in Kingston who, currently receives, the therapy, which is about $2,000 a week through their work benefits. But, she'll be retiring shortly. That could mean that they'll be off it. A gentleman out of Chatham area was talking about how his wife was retiring as well, and that, you know, other provinces do cover the therapy, unlike Ontario, and they were contemplating having to move out of the province to continue, getting the treatment that they've had because it's not available here in Ontario, which is sad.
Well, it is sad. On that note, you know what, Michael, we're going to take our first break of the hour.
Sure.
When we come right back, Rob Washburn, who is a professor of e-journalism, he's my regular host here on the show. He's got a question for you, but we're going to take our quick break, and we will be right back.
I'm Laurie Stevenson, and you should be listening to The Search. What excites me is when magic happens in music. Sometimes it's live in concert, sometimes it's a carefully crafted concept album, and most especially, it's local music. Listen to what's exciting me right now on The Search, Sunday afternoons at 2 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.
Well, that was Lauren Stevenson, and of course, that is The Search. Joining me online via telephone. You're calling me from Kitchener, aren't you, Michael?
I am, yes.
So you're down in the home riding. He's from Kitchener-Conestoga. He is the member of Parliament. One of the things I asked you while we were having a break here was, you know, how surprised are people that you're the one putting this forward? I mean, you're a conservative here in Ontario, you know, the whole fiscal conservatism, and yet we're talking about funding rare diseases. And like I said, for Alpha-1, the treatment is on average $100,000 a year.
Well, you know, we're talking about treatment for all rare diseases. And yeah, I will say that people are surprised perhaps when they learn the party that I represent. But I think it's also important for people to know that as conservatives, we believe, in encouraging people to go out and create the wealth that enables our province to support those that need the help the most. And that, you know, if we prioritize and make, you know, government's priorities, the people's priorities like this, then we'll be able to help support them instead of wasting dollars on things that are not the priority of Ontarians, which we've seen a lot of here in Ontario. We can invest in people's health. And, you know, how do you say we'll fund somebody, you know, in the treatment of cancer and not for somebody that has a rare disease? I mean, again, I don't have one, but I've heard the stories of people, and it's, we're picking, you know, winners and losers here. And it doesn't seem like, that's just something we can expect here in the province of Ontario, or at least the country of Canada, right?
Would you support PharmaCare?
Well, you know what? Look, PharmaCare is clearly a federal, area. You know, it's no matter whether drugs are approved or not, whether Health Canada approves drugs for specific treatments or not, oftentimes it's the criteria that the province sets out is the hurdle, is the troubling point for people to access. Mm-hmm. You can have a pharma program, across Canada, but when it comes to actually accessing these therapies and these treatments, oftentimes it's the provincial policy that many patients run into roadblocks accessing the drug. And so, you know, outside of the cost here, there's a lot of other things in my motion. And again, I don't have the answer, but I'm hoping that a committee of my peers, my colleagues, MPPs from all three political parties can listen and come up with recommendations that the Ministry of Health can adopt. We've seen many select committees with great results. The Select Committee for Mental Health and Addictions, Developmental Disabilities, the Sexual Harassment Select Committee, all of these things have come up with good recommendations, and I hope this committee can do the same. But, and it doesn't always mean dollars and cents. There's a lot of other non-monetary items, too.
But wouldn't even a provincial pharmacare model allow better purchasing, a lowering of costs for medications, being able to give access where maybe access wasn't available before? Isn't that a potential solution?
Well, look, in often cases, the provinces have, through the Pan-Canadian Alliance, have negotiated a significantly great price on a particular drug. And again, we're not talking about, tens of thousands of people in one particular rare disease. They're rare for a reason, because few people have them. Mm-hmm. And we get that, these pharmaceutical companies are going out, putting the time and money into the R&D so that we can help people find new treatments as science and technology evolves. And so I just don't think that, you know, the ultimate cost should be the ultimate factor in deciding whether you're in or whether you're out.
But I think it's important that we understand the context. For example, I'm aware of the fact that a drug, and if I pronounce it wrong, please correct me, Soliris?
Soliris.
That treatment for a year is somewhere between $500,000 and $700,000 just to treat one case. I appreciate what you're saying about cost. It should not be about cost. Ethically, we should be treating these people. But it is a phenomenal cost involved here, is it not?
Sure it is. And I'll give you an example with somebody that needs Soliris. And I have a mom that wrote me, their daughter was diagnosed just this past November. She's 8 months old with AHUS. It's a rare, life-threatening, chronic genetic disease that damages the body's vital organs. Mm-hmm. And as parents, they were heartbroken, of course, with the diagnosis, happy that they were able to identify what it was. But then they were later devastated to learn that OHIP doesn't cover the drug that she needs. And at her weight, it was going to be around $500,000 a year. There was no feasible way that they could provide that for her. So, after a lot of stress and paperwork, it was actually the pharmaceutical company that provided the drug or the treatment to their daughter. Mm-hmm. Now, unfortunately, it's only for 6 months as of right now. But they're thankful for, their daughter right now. I couldn't even imagine being faced with that dilemma here in the province of Ontario.
You know, these are heart-wrenching stories, and I think you really make them resonate when you tell us stuff like that. But are there not already things in place? For example, I understand that there's a patient or a patent medicine a price review board that tries to make sure that the drug companies don't gouge us. And I know that Hoskins back in October was talking to one group, and he said, you know, I want to create another special committee for out-of-country care funding. He's also committed to, I believe, another process for trying to speed up other aspects of what you're talking about. Hasn't the government already started to move on some of this already?
Well, you know what? There are thousands of rare diseases that have been identified out there. And you know what? It seems like every time one of these patient groups that comes to Queen's Park and talks about their story in the media studio, the ministry reacts, or the minister reacts with striking a panel for this rare disease, which is EDS you're referring to, or reviewing the criteria for sufferers of PKU. Or, you know, looking at accessing, Solaris for folks that suffer with AHUS. So there's all this kind of piecemeal type stuff happening. And I think that no matter what rare disease you have, their stories are very similar in terms of their struggles with the system that we have here in the province. And so that's why I think the select committee can help address a lot of the areas or problems. You know what? Forget about the drugs for a minute. I talked about the misdiagnosis piece. You know what? The struggles that people have to actually identify what is the matter. So proper training of our medical professionals, the referral process. You know what? We hear the success that patient groups, support groups provide for people that suffer from a rare disease. Instead of relying on Facebook, how can the government better support patient groups across the province to give them information and support while they live with this rare disease? So we're not just talking about pharmaceuticals. It's an array of issues that pertain to people with a rare disease. And I think the select committee, you know, can listen, hear, and provide recommendations that the government can act upon.
Well, I think you're right. I think part of the problem here is what we've seen is, and I don't want to just call them Band-Aid solutions. It seems like the governments, and not just this current government, past governments as well, when a group of people present them with something, it's like putting out a fire. Oh, we've got to put this fire out. We've got to respond to this right now. But, to your point, because there's been a lack of a committee, there really has been a lack of a comprehensive investigation into the nature of rare diseases, how many people are suffering. And yes, you know, we can talk about the dollars and cents aspect of it, but first we have to identify where the holes are, right? We need to identify where the problems exist. For instance, as I say, I talk about myself having been diagnosed for more than a decade with COPD. Never once did a doctor say to me, or my father, who was dying from a liver disease, maybe you have alpha-1. Part of the problem for rare diseases is oftentimes when one goes to a general practitioner or their family doctor, the doctor's not aware of the possibility of it. The fact that it's a rare disease never, ever enters into the conversation or into the doctor's head, for that matter.
Yeah, better communications. You know, we had a roundtable yesterday in Hamilton, and we had a couple physician specialists from McMaster come over, and they're, you know, the amount of time they actually study on a rare disease could be a matter of 10 minutes during their training. Give you a quick story, guys. A lady and her brother daughter in from my riding to me recently, and she suffers from CCHS. It's a significant long name, but it's a rare disease that roughly 1 in 1,000 worldwide have. Basically, it's the inability to tell her body to breathe when the CO2 builds up. And so they've needed a ventilator to help her breathe at night so that she doesn't stop breathing. And because of just the specific criteria of the fact that it is a rare disease, she doesn't qualify for this ventilator. Mm-hmm. So the local church went out, raised $10,000, and has purchased it for her. I don't know if that just makes sense here in the province. And, you know, it may be just because the boxes, there's one box they couldn't tick off in terms of her accessing this assisted device program. Mm-hmm. And so we need to look at those things, because in some cases, if you've got a more common disease, you're qualified. If you don't tick the one box because you have a rare disease, you're not. And so it's those type of things we have to look at.
Well, and on a personal level, just to bring it back to what you're saying, I mean, one of the things that has been the result of my disease is my lack of mobility. All right. I mean, I simply can't get around. I have to get rides from people and what have you. In Coburg, I'm probably a notorious ride mooch. But I had asked the worker at the disability office when I finally got Ontario Disability, what about some form of transportation? I have an e-bike. Maybe I could, get my e-bike retrofitted and brought back to life. They said, oh, no, we wouldn't cover something like that. So again, just something as simple as mobility, getting around, even providing for a scooter rather than a scooter. I'm only 50. I don't want to be driving around in a scooter, but apparently, there are no options.
Yeah, another item of study again: the assisted devices program and related funding to ensure urgent needs for equipment required by those with the rare disease are met. Mm-hmm. Respite is a significant aspect of families that suffer that have loved ones that suffer from a rare disease. In some cases, they're no longer able to provide the necessary care at home for.
Mm-hmm.
So respite's also a factor. In some cases, because of a rare disease, they don't qualify for different programs in the province. So, you know what? These are things that, are not just associated with pharmaceuticals. And I think it's imperative that, it's clearly a problem. We're seeing more and more people come to Queen's Park. We're hearing that, we're trying to take the politics out of the decision-making. If you can recall, there was a young girl, Maddie Vanstone. She had cystic fibrosis. There was a drug called Kalydeco, and her classmates were doing bake sales and fundraisers to help pay for this drug to have her live a normal life like they could.
Mm-hmm.
And, the pressure mounted to the point where the government eventually funded the drug. That just shows that politics is absolutely in the decision making and that the process isn't working for
some. One of the things that you're proposing, though, is a Drug-Assisted for Patients Act. Is that not correct? Is that not part of what you're talking about?
No, but we're talking about...
I'd like to know what that's about.
Well, we're asking for the committee to review the Transparent Drug System for Patients Act, and that may suggest any changes that are necessary to better support Ontarians with a rare disease.
So there is legislation right now that does that?
Yeah, there is a system in place already, but oftentimes, people with a rare disease... don't meet the criteria that's set out for accessing a lot of these pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm, uh-huh.
They're approved by Health Canada. They're on the list for Ontario to fund, but the criteria for a patient to meet, I'll give you an example. AHUS is another one of them that we talked about, that young girl. You almost need to be at death's door. You need to be in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
Ready to check out before they're going to give you this. And so... these are the type of criteria that's set out for these folks to meet.
So what about also I know that you're looking at for something called a compassionate review policy. What's that about?
Well, it's already in place. This is,
okay.
It's something that the compassionate review policy for drugs of rare disease, we're looking at reviewing that. The potential for committed funding envelope specifically to deal with rare diseases. You've got Cancer Care Ontario that manages, if you have cancer, Cancer Care Ontario is a kind of a siloed, wing of the Ministry of Health that
mm-hmm.
deals with anything with cancer. Potentially you could have something similar for rare diseases because
mm-hmm.
they're very rare.
Yep.
These are all things, again, that I don't have an answer for.
Mm-hmm.
I just have understood and recognized the plight, the difficulty that these people have to go through, and that we should study these things and come up with recommendations on how to better support those with a rare disease.
So
don't get me wrong, guys.
Yeah.
Our province, there's plenty of things out there that they're doing and the work will continue with the ministry
mm-hmm.
and the bureaucrats on this file. But I think this is something that can complement and assist in those that suffer from a rare disease.
Well, it sounds to me like there are a lot of processes already in place, but they're not being utilized or they're being underutilized, or people with rare diseases for whatever reason don't tick off that box. Ergo, they don't qualify for, whether it's the enhancement or compassion. If you have a rare disease, it's almost as though, you've scored low on the test. Ergo, you didn't qualify.
Well, look at the case of your father. I mean, look how science and technology has changed since when you know, when your dad had to go through this versus mm-hmm. you, or even, you know, a family member down the road. And so we need to modernize, you know, how our system responds to people, you know, that have a rare disease, especially because, you know, what companies are looking for or investing money in new treatments, and people are living longer, of course. And we're not talking about a terminal illness, thankfully. In some cases, it can be.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, these are people that suffer from a rare disease that if given a therapy, they would lead normal lives that want to contribute. Often cases, many of them are on some sort of social assistance. That's not what they'd want to do. They want to contribute and mm-hmm. work and provide and have a family. And 9 times out of 10, these treatments provide for that. But if they don't get it, then they're forced to stay at home and be on social assistance. And I heard that a lot over our course of our travel.
Well, and I'm one of those people. I mean, I'm now basically forced to live on disability because of my inability to do more than what I do right here at the radio station as a volunteer 3 hours a day. But, you know, is part of the problem, are we really talking about the fact that part of the problem is a lack of support from the federal government? I mean, we know that health transfers from the federal government since the Martin Krajan era have been greatly diminished. We know right now the federal government pays approximately 22 cents for every health dollar. You know, should we be encouraging the federal government to get back in the game where they're paying 50 cents on the dollar and maybe providing more funding so the province can expand its coverage?
Well, you know what? Clearly in the province of Ontario, it's responsibility to deliver health care. The financial budget, mm-hmm. the health care budget is one of the largest. I think 50 plus some cents for every dollar we spend does go to health care. And
mm-hmm.
of course, as people age, there'll be more and more of a strain on our health care system. So, you know, those are all things that hopefully, the federal government, and I know we've seen increases in health transfers recently under the Harper government. I'll have to throw that in there. And the province of Ontario, you know, turned around and didn't invest that back into health care for the most part. We'll see what happens right now with the new federal government. But, you know, it takes the leadership here provincially to say, look, we're going to help these people who are outside the system. I can tell you, you know what, if, you know, your son or daughter or brother or sister was diagnosed with a rare disease, you know, you'd soon be shocked to know that often cases, the government's not there to support you, where they are in many other cases.
Well, Michael, we're going to take another quick break here, but we will be right back with more of this great conversation. My guest online is Michael Harris. He's the member of Provincial Parliament for Kitchener-Conestoga. He's doing the rare disease tour here in Ontario, which just wrapped up. He's bringing it to committee. Of course, Queen's Park reconvenes next week. And so obviously that conversation will continue, but we will be right back with more of this conversation right here. You're listening to Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. And welcome back to The Drive Time. My guest on the line is MPP Michael Harris from Kitchener-Conestoga. We are talking about the rare disease tour here in Ontario and really how impactful has that been? But Rob, you have the first question.
Oh, thanks very much, Dave. Mr. Harris, we were talking just before the break about cost and getting monies transferred from the federal government. And I can't help but thinking throughout all our discussions, I mean, you tell us incredibly compassionate, heart-rending stories about what's going on out there and how much people are suffering and what they're going through. And of course, we all feel like we want to help. But doesn't it come down to really about how much it's going to cost? And we're currently in an environment where, you know, here in rural Ontario, and I'm sure you must down where you are, the same things are going on, where we're seeing hospitals having their budgets just slashed back. Services are under threat. Nurses are being laid off. There's all kinds of things. And each of the lens, all it comes back to is we've got to get the costs down. We've got to make it more efficient. You know, it's money that's motivating all of this. And yet, when I look below all of this, it seems to me that we can't get away from the fact that this is going to cost. And because, you know, as we were talking about earlier, these can be phenomenally expensive treatments. We're talking about big costs here. How do you see that all being worked out? I mean, that's really what it's going to come down to when we get to the heart and soul of it.
Well, sure. You know what? Again, but how do you say yes to one and no to another? You know, these are all people that have contributed here to the province of Ontario that, you know what, expect fair treatment just like you and I would. You know, I think it also comes down to prioritizing. And, you know, unfortunately, as we've seen over the last 10, 12 plus years here in the province, we've not been able to prioritize, I think. And we've seen, unfortunately, a lot of precious dollars that do come to Queen's Park,
mm-hmm.
you know what, go to places that I don't think would be the average person's priority. I don't need to name a few. And I want to keep the politics out of, calling for this select committee, because regardless on what the cost may or may not be mm-hmm. to the system, we understand and realize that there is a significant issue out there with people that suffer from a rare disease
mm-hmm.
who are completely outside the current system.
Yep.
And one wouldn't imagine that that actually happens in the province of Ontario, where you have to rack up credit card debt. You know, we compare ourselves to the United States all the time of having a better world-class healthcare system. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you hear these stories of families who have had to sell their home, mortgage their home, sell their assets just to provide care and treatment for their loved ones, you know, that doesn't make sense. And so, again, a lot of these things, sure, they're going to cost money. But there are things that we think we can do here mm-hmm. as parliamentarians to help people with a rare disease that are not monetary in nature. You know what? Through the training, as I talked about, medical professionals, mm-hmm. what is the cost of the system for misdiagnosis? You know, what is the cost of sending somebody to a psychiatric ward or putting them on, you know what, psychotic medications and not properly diagnosing something else?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these factors, I think, are enough to say, look, here's a problem. Let's put a committee of parliamentarians together to listen to these people and bring forward some recommendations. And it's up to them, to the government, to act on those recommendations. But at least let's give the issue the attention that it deserves.
So on February 25th, you're bringing your motion forward. It's going to be brought before the House to be discussed. Most of it sounds like there's already a structure in place. It's needing to be modified and some things added and taken away so that it serves people's needs much better. That seems like a real mom and apple pie kind of thing. So where do you see then the rubber hitting the road? What are the blocks, the hurdles, the challenges that are going to get in the way of this happening? Because it just seems so logical when we talk about it.
Yeah, well, February the 25th I chose because it's the closest day to Rare Disease Day. You know, I'm confident that the motion itself will pass, calling for a select committee. But, you know, that doesn't automatically ensure that the committee will be struck. We'll need the government to say, okay, we heard the parliamentarians speak on this matter, mm-hmm. and we're gonna you know, agree to call for the committee to be formed. And Lou Rinaldi, your local member there, will have a big say in encouraging his colleagues to make that happen. And then from there, we make the committee up based on the makeup of the House, and we put a timeline in place. Look, next election is not till 2018. We've mm-hmm. got some time. We've got some time here to put the resources, the energy, the effort to go about and get something put on paper and bring it back to the House.
Does it really going to take that much time? Because, I mean, as we're all speaking, there are people out there that are suffering from these diseases, and this isn't happening any faster. How fast do you want to see it take place?
Well, we'd like to think that, you know, if the motion passes, the government could call the select committee this spring with a report perhaps by the end of the year, the very earliest, you know, next spring. But again, the work of the government on this file will continue. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? We see a new group with a rare disease coming to Queen's Park each and every week. And the minister responds with, we'll set up a special panel. We'll review the criteria. You know, we'll meet with you here or there. It will not stop. It will continue.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that's why, again, we feel a committee can even support the minister on this file. And I'm hopeful that it passes and that the government agrees to the committee.
So I guess what we're really talking about here, and I'm going to be as blunt as I possibly can, what we're talking about here is a choice for the government. And the choice is, you know, do we choose who gets to live and who gets to die based on dollars and cents? Or do we choose who gets to live and who gets to die based on the need? And right now, we've been so far, and to Rob's point about the LHINs, I mean, the LHINs, it's almost as though healthcare happens as a byproduct of fiscal responsibility, you know? It's almost as if healthcare sort of happens, you know, as a sideline in the meantime while we're throwing money at various local health integration networks across the province. I mean, realistically, it's the province who determines, you know, especially, you know, for someone like myself. I mean, I can honestly say if the process was in place before, I would probably still be able to go to my father's house for dinner. He would still be with us. But because of the lack of education, communications, and development of a comprehensive strategy with regards to rare diseases, people like my father and like myself, quite frankly, and my brothers, who would have gone undiagnosed had it not been for the eagle-eyed healthcare of one respirologist. You know, we've been going to doctors our whole lives. This is something I was born with, and yet never, ever had a doctor say, maybe you've got Alpha-1. And so, again, it really, in my opinion anyway, it comes down to dollars and cents. And it's really, you know, it's fiscal responsibility determining, as I said a moment ago, who gets to live and who gets to die.
Well, you know what, there's newborn screening out there that screen for a lot of these diseases when you're a newborn. Often cases you're told you have them and then sent on your way.
Mm-hmm.
The other question is, you know, you look at other provinces, Alpha-1, there's a treatment out there for Alpha-1. And like I said earlier, some of the smaller provinces in Canada actually fund this treatment. Mm-hmm. So there's a discrepancy amongst, you know, those that are here in Canada. So how do you answer to that? You know, it doesn't make sense. There was a good story in the Star on Monday talking about two brothers with a rare disease that live in different provinces.
Mm-hmm.
One has the funding for the treatment, the other
right.
doesn't.
Yep.
You know, that I just don't think there's clearly a problem here with that. And that's why we're hoping, you know, and again, I don't have a prescriptive answer on how to solve this, but I'm hopeful that if a community goes out and hears from these folks, that we'll be able to provide some recommendations, looking at jurisdictions that have best practices. How do they do it? Because other areas around mm-hmm. the world do it. They do it, and they support their people. And it's about making priorities. And you know what? I'd rather invest in the treatment for somebody than invest in a fancy building for a health bureaucrat to work at. You know, those are the decisions you're going to have to make. They're tough decisions, you know what? We're going to have them.
Do you have your leader's support?
You know what, Patrick Brown, absolutely. You know, we've met many times in this file, and he said, Mike, go at it, keep me posted on it. And, you know, I know people in his constituents and his riding have expressed interest in the file. And, you know, I'm looking for, you know, I know my caucus, the Progressive Conservatives, will be supporting, and I did have acknowledgement from the NDP. We're hopeful that the Liberals support it as well.
Mm-hmm.
TreatRareDisease.ca is our website. Go on there. You can read the stories of folks that have submitted them. You can see how you can be a part of the initiative. Hashtag treat rare disease, meet your MPP, write your MPP, come to Queen's Park on the 25th. There's lots of ways to get involved.
You have a petition as well. I think you have something like, what is it, 900 signatures?
Ooh, well, we've had several petitions about several specific rare diseases.
Uh-huh.
And I know for EDS, there was thousands of signatures on that, which led, you know, to part and partial to Eric Hoskins, the health minister, to strike a special panel for EDS. So there's a lot of ways that people can get involved. TreatRareDisease.ca is the best way.
Okay.
So there you go. And you're encouraging folks to write your member of provincial parliament or contact Lou Rinaldi's office directly if you're living here in Northumberland, Peterborough South. Michael, I want to thank you for taking the time. I know we went over the time allotment here, but you know, as I said earlier, you'd be surprised how quickly an hour flies by.
You're right.
Should folks contact you directly or just contact their member of parliament?
Well, treatraredisease.ca is the website I'm encouraging everyone to visit. That way you can easily type in your postal code. It tells you who your MPP is. It could be Lou Rinaldi. It could be Jeff Leal. It could be, you know, Premier Winner or even Dr. Eric Hoskins. We're encouraging them to write them. Tweet them. If you have time, meet with them. Explain to them the struggles that, you know, perhaps you as a rare disease sufferer have had with mm-hmm. the current system. And sometimes it can be an easy fix. Other times it's not. But we are encouraging those to get their story out. Because, hey, guys, it's rare. There are few of them. But their stories are important, just like others.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Michael.
Thank you.
Okay, guys.
You take care and good luck in Queen's Park with this one.
All right, guys. Take care. Thanks again.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
So there you have it, MPP Michael Harris. He's introducing a private member's motion, which will be done on or about February 25th. A private member's motion, as most people know, they're used to introduce a wide range of issues and are framed either as orders or as resolutions. The Treat Rare Disease, which is the hashtag on Twitter, by the way, Treat Rare Disease campaign will result in a motion whose objective is to give a direction to committees and members of the provincial legislature. What are we looking for? What are they looking for? Well, the current definition that's used for rare diseases, they want to develop
develop a strategy and a committee that's going to focus on, A, the definition, training of medical professionals, both to effectively diagnose, which was my problem, and provide appropriate referrals and treatment options, the need for a provincial research and drug development strategy for rare diseases, the alignment of available clinical data, best practice guidelines and funding criteria, transparent drug systems for Patients Act, and any changes that are necessary to support Ontarians with rare diseases, the need for a committed funding envelope specific to persons with rare diseases, the Health Insurance Act regulations and out-of-country services. You know, we talked about a couple of people who've actually traveled to the United States for service and for treatment, which because of the rarity of the disease, they don't get the coverage. The assisted devices program, which is related to funding to ensure urgent needs for equipment, including mobility issues for people such as myself. Ontario respite care programs and any further government-funded programs and supports for families and caregivers struggling to meet the care needs of those suffering with rare disease. And I want to again mention Sarah Orr, whose son is suffering from mitochondrial disease.
You know, Dave, it's really interesting because the way that this is presented, how can you not say yes to it? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a really straightforward thing. But I think what it really comes down to, and I'd be curious what you think, I think it comes down to money. And I think what they're going to make, they can make some changes, but the changes, everything that they that they're going to change is going to have a financial impact. And these are big dollars. Mm-hmm. And when we see them scrambling at our local hospital just to get our budgets balanced, and we see the kinds of impacts that it's having on local services, how are they going to justify that? And that, boy, I'm not a medical ethicist, but boy, that's a tough question to answer. And it's really going to put a lot of pressure on the government to put resources. And I, you know, you keep saying it's not political, but when you come back to it, I think that's the bottom line.
What's more political than to choose between life and death? I mean, what they're ultimately saying, you know, in this province and several other provinces across the country, well, actually every province and territory across the country has various criteria and ways in which they treat and cover people who suffer from rare ailments. And the long and short of it is they are allowing dollars and cents to determine who gets to live and who dies in this province of Ontario. And that's really the bottom line here. And, you know, it doesn't matter to me whether it's a funding issue or not. The reality is people are dying. Now, I was always the kind of person, because I suffer from a rare disease and because there are so few people in the province of Ontario, you know, I said to my doctor, you know, well, you know what, I don't know how willing I am to force, you know, the bulk of the majority of this province who don't suffer from a rare disease to pay for my treatment when I'm one in, you know, only one in a handful of people. And the doctor said, well, you're only one in a handful of people. You know, so maybe they should be covering you. There's a small number of you, and maybe those are the kinds of diseases they should be focused on. You know, I mean, we know cancer treatments always gets the big dollars, but you know, that's where all the donation dollars are going to. That's where they've got more fundraising dollars than any other thing out there. There's not a whole lot of fundraising available for people who suffer from rare disease, except in the case of one or two of the patients he mentioned, where the local school has bake sales and what have you. But you know, the bottom line is, healthcare should not be a byproduct of bottom line efficiencies. All right. Healthcare is healthcare. Governments aren't in the business of making profits. Governments aren't in the business of running fiscally manageable organizations. It's the government. It's the government's responsibility and role through our taxation to support the people of the province. All the people of the province.
And if we have a truly universal health care system, then it's health care for rare diseases and common diseases.
Well, so, let's face it, they're part of the universe.
I would like to think so.
Absolutely. Rob, I want to thank you very much for being here again today. And thanks again to Michael Harris, MPP for Kitchener-Conestoga, for joining us this afternoon. You've been listening to The Drive Time right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. I'm Dave Glover, and my guest host for Consider This Live is Rob Washburn. Who do we got in next week, Rob?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. We're going to go out with some Hollies, folks. It's all about the air that I breathe. And as I say, I suffer from a rare lung disorder, so here they are.